poor person, what does he do with the Nesra? And if he's a poor person on Shabbos, what can he do? What with an Esra? He comes and he looks in Esra and his tongue is hanging out for that Esra. And he goes, how much is it? That one, $50. And he looks, perhaps nobody will see that Esra. And he puts some stuff over. Doesn't take long, the rich man comes, $50 it's gone. And he says, oh, then stop, $40. He hasn't, he's only got 50 cents. It's already Erev Sukkos and there are few measly esrogim on the table. He goes up, how much is this one? $1. Could sit down, he's only got 50 cents. Haven't you got a cheap one? Sell us his, how much have you got? He says, 50 cents. 50 cents, you take that one. He takes that one. The worst esrog there. Where's his hidden mitzvah? Hidden mitzvah he can't have. He comes home, he brings two candles for his wife. He hasn't even got candlesticks. Takes two stones, puts them on a brick and puts them on there. He hasn't got hidden mitzvah. He hasn't got hidden mitzvah, but he's got chibur mitzvah. Chibur mitzvah. It's dear to him. No hidden mitzvah, but it's chibur mitzvah. It's dear to him. Chibur from chaviv, dear. It's dear. The mitzvah is dear. It means a tremendous amount to him. The joy he gets just from doing the mitzvah. He's got chibur mitzvah. Just to give you a brain teaser. It's possible to have chibur mitzvah without hidur mitzvah. Is it possible to have hidur mitzvah without chibur mitzvah?
Absolutely.
Sure.
No.
Are you so certain?
No.
That if a person gets the most beautiful esra, but it's not dear to him, and that means very little to him. Is that hidur mitzvah? Is that hidur mitzvah? I don't know. We've got to have proof for that. We've got to have proof for that, whether that is hidur mitzvah.
Is it on the person or is it on the object?
Well, we've got to work out. We've got to see. But I'm alerting you to it because we might come across something in the Rashi, in the Rashbam, in the Tosfos. We might that will give us a clue to that. But you follow what I'm asking you. Hidur mitzvah without hidur mitzvah. Of course, that's possible. But is it possible to have hidur mitzvah without hidur mitzvah? The man's got a beautiful esra, and he's got it in a silver box, real silver. Sterling silver, you mean something else. Hallmarked silver. You know what hallmarked silver is? First of all, it's got a line. And then it's got a mark, and through that mark you can tell the town which it was and where it was made. Whether London, Birmingham, Sheffield, Coventry, where it was done. And then it's got another mark, and if you know the marks, then you know the date of it, when that silver was done. And then it's got another mark, and that mark is the country.
Some say... No.
What is that?
Muffled in the beeper. Somebody's beeper went off the night. My father.
No, it's a lot.
Yeah, but there are four beepers in the room, so it was hard to tell.
No, they didn't know which one was there. All right. Yes.
I'm just thinking of that example you were talking about. There could be a man who's very rich who buys the most beautiful esrog and has it in the most beautiful box.
Yes.
And carries it in his pocket or something like that.
Even if he carries
it under his arm or does something.
The mitzvah itself means very little to him. Oh, beautiful, but very little to him. Is that hidur mitzvah? Has he got the hidur mitzvah? Is it possible to have hidur mitzvah without hidur mitzvah? That's a question.
Is the accent on the hidur or something?
Well, I don't want to go into it without having some kind of a raya. Now, we are ready. Let us begin a little bit of Gemara. Ask the Gemara, my iriya arvei psochim. Why does the Mishnah say on Erev Pesach, Sumas HaMincha, is not allowed to eat until it's dark. Afilu Arbei Shabbosos V'Yomim Tovim Nami. The same law applies Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov. Also,
on the same edition, and just because it's the Aramaic.
Look.
That we're going with are they? And
no, it's the same. That's the text it's got. My Ilya Arve Psochim, Vos Epes Arve Psochim. Why exactly Arve Psochim? Afilo Arve Shemoses Biyomim Tevim Nami. The same law applies to Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov too. Why does the Mishnah tell us Erev Psochim, the Sanyo? Because we learned in the Beraisa. A person may not eat on Erev Shabbos and on Erev Yom Tov from the Mincha onwards. Kedei shei kones leShabbos keshehu taaveh, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. In order that he should enter the Shabbos when he is taaveh. He wants to eat, he's hungry. Rabbi Yosei omer, olech vehulech ad shetechshach. Rabbi Yosef says he goes on eating until it becomes dark. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, even on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, a person's also not allowed to eat. From Mincha onwards. Also not allowed to eat. So why does the Mishnah say Erev Psochim? It's the same rule applies to Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov too. Just let me finish this little piece of Gemara, then you can ask. Over Rabuna, said Rabuna, lo tzricho, it's not necessary to put Erev Pesachim, elo le Rabbi Yosei, only according to Rabbi Yosei. De Omar, oche vahulech ad shetechshach, Rabbi Yosei says you can go on eating until it becomes dark. Hani Mili, when does Rabbi Yosei say this? Be Arvei Shabbos is Yomim Tovim only on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov. Avo be Erev HaPesach, but on Erev Pesach Mishum Chiyuv de Matzah, because of the Chiyuv, the obligation to eat Matzah, Mode. There, Rabbi Yosei concedes that one is not allowed to eat from the Mincha on. So just let me go through orally this little piece of Gemara with you. The Gemara asks a question. First of all, we've got a Beraisa. The Beraisa says, Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, one doesn't eat from the Mincha onwards, are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yose says, you can eat until it gets dark. So the Gemara asks a question. Why does the Mishnah, our Mishnah, speak about Erev Pesach? The same law applies to Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov also, that you're not allowed to eat from the Mincha onwards. Omar Avun answers Rabbuna, yes. Rabbi Yehuda says that the same law applies. But Rabbi Yosei says that on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov you can eat until it gets dark. So the Mishnah is Rabbi Yosei. The Mishnah is Rabbi Yosei, and Rabbi Yosei agrees and he concedes that although Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov one can eat until it gets dark, says Rabbi Yosei, but Erev Pesach I concede that the din is that from Mincha onwards you're not allowed to eat. That's why it says Erev Pesach. Got that? Yes, Charles.
Sir, I'm at a slight disadvantage only because I learned the halakha at your very Shabbos table some 2 years ago. So I know the halakha on this. So my question has to come from the side of saying, why...
You're in the workshop now.
Yes. Why is Rabbi Yosi so... What? How can he have, in a sense, to my perception, the insensitivity to say someone could eat till that late hour? What is the reason? How does he arrive at someone could eat till that late hour?
We can only understand that when we get to the bottom of the following page and we over onto the next page. That we can only get to it. We don't know enough about it yet. Got to know more. Now, Popa, is that clear what the question is? Shepherd, you finding this?
It's not clear.
It's not clear. It's Shepherd.
Because it seems like you cross questions there. The question, one rabbi is saying, 10 kumin rabbis, anybody can be a rabbi. Call them one tana.
One tana.
Tana, yes. Yes.
Saying,
or the Mishnah,
yes.
Well, you could eat until it gets solved.
That's Rabbi Yossi.
Rabbi Yossi.
Yes.
And everybody else seems to say...
And Rabbi Yehuda says, you can't eat on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Kippur, you can't eat. From me. So the Gemara, so Rav Huna answers and he says, our Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Kippur, you can eat till it gets dark. But he agrees on Erev Pesach, you can't. Because of Matzah. That's what Rav Huna asks. So our Mishnah here is because of Rabbi Yossi. In fact, we say that Rabbi Yossi is the author of this Mishnah. It's he that's speaking.
But he is writing his version.
That's right. He's writing. It's for him. It's not that he's actually writing. It's Rabbi Yehuda HaNosi. But Rabbi Yehuda HaNosi is doing it on behalf of Rabbi Yossi. It's necessary. Because Rabbi Yossi says, Erev Shabbos and Erev Pesach, you can eat till it gets dark.
No.
But he is... Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Kippur. I'm sorry, thank you, David. Sorry, thanks very much. Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Kippur says, Rabbi Yossi, you can eat till it gets dark. But here he concedes, Erev Pesach, no. Everybody agrees on Erev Pesach that you can't eat from the
dark.
You follow? That is what I'm doing. Yes,
Mom. Mr. Reiser, is Rabbi Yehuda referring to Minchas Ketana or Minchas Gedola?
He's referring to Minchas Ketana, but there's another discrepancy there.
Okay, so he's speaking about from Minchas Ketana and onward. Our Mishnah, according to Rashi, is before Minchas.
Very good. It's not according to Rashi. It says Somach LaMincha.
Well, Somach could mean afterwards.
Well, but we said before, Rashbam also said we take it before.
So we can
half an hour we know.
So we can still learn it according to Rabbi Yehuda.
Exactly. That's what Rav Popa says. Rav Popa says, just look a little bit further, Rav Popa said, Afilu Teimu Rabbi Yehuda, but you can say it goes even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Hosom there, about Arve Shabbosas, V'yomim Tovim, in the Braisa, it's only prohibited from Mincha onwards, but Somuch LaMincha Shori. But before Mincha, that is before 3:30 is permitted, 3:25 is permitted, 3:20 is permitted, 3:15 is permitted, 3:00 is permitted. But Erev HaPesach, even Somach LaMincha, Nami also. But Erev HaPesach, even Somach LaMincha, even half an hour before, it's also prohibited. So says Rav Popa, it can go even according to Rabbi Yehuda.
This is where we would know it would be Somach must be before,
right? Well,
otherwise it wouldn't make sense.
From this is the next verse also. Let me take it a little bit further. The second part I'll repeat when we do it next week. Asks the Gemara, Uber Erev Shabbos Somach LaMincha Shori, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, Erev Shabbos, near Mincha, before Mincha, he permits it. The whole time, but there is another Beraisa which we learned. This is Beraisa number 2. Lo Yochal Odom Be Erev Shabbos Be Yomim Telvi Mitesha Shua Sulamailo. Rabbi Yehuda says that on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, he may not eat from 9 hours onwards. From when is 9 hours?
3:00.
So this is Somach. It says 9 hours.
So that would be before.
So that means before. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda also agrees, says that on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, it's from 3:00, not from 3:30. Omar Marzutra said Marzutra. So you've got two braises, braise number 1 and braise number 2. Braise number 1 says that on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, you can't eat from 3:30 onwards. And braise number 2 says on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, you can't eat from 3:00 onwards. So one of them must be a mistake. Oma Mazutra man daimulon de mitrachtuhi. Who tells you that the second braisa is correct? Dilma mishbeshtihi. Perhaps the second braisa is wrong. And instead of saying teisha shows. Oh, is it only one page?
Well, we have the second page.
We have the second page, but we haven't got that.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, I mean, this Gemara I'll go over with you because I'm going it over very quickly now.
Can you say again, who's the first Brisa and who's the second? Who is saying
that? There are two Brises, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef. But the one, Brisa number one says, from Mincha onwards, that from half past three onwards, you can't eat on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov.
That's Rabbi
Yehuda.
Right.
And in the second Brisa, Rabbi Yehuda says from 3 o'clock onwards, you're not allowed to eat.
Oh, so there are two different Brises of Rabbi Yehuda.
Two different, so one is wrong. So, Mazutra wants to say that the second Brisa is wrong. And therefore, and it should, the second Brisa should say 9.5 hours. Omale Mar Gamer, Ritemer, Rav Gamer, and Mar Gamer said to Mazutra, and others say it was Rav Gamer, Anoi Floy Lepirke de Rav Pinchos Breid Rav Ami. I was once present at a shir of Rabbi Pinchos, the son of Rav Ami, the Komtana, and the reader rose, the Toni Kamei, and he read before him this Mishnah, the Kiblomine, as Mishnah number 2 is, from 3 o'clock onwards. So we see it's right. It's right. The second Mishnah is right. The second Mishnah is right. And therefore, the second Brisa is right. And therefore, you must say that the first Brisa should read Somach Lemincha to make the two Brisas agree. That's the way you've got to do it. Says the Gemara Ihochi Kasha. In that case, it's a Kasha on the Popo. So back again we are. So why does it, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what do you need Erev Pesachim for? It's Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, the same thing. Elo, but answers the Gemara, Machvarto Kira Rav Huna. It is better to answer it like Rav Huna, that we need it only because of Rabbi Yosef and nobody else. That is as far as we are taking the Gemara today. But the Gemara I shall do over next time. I've got to do it over with the Rashi and the Rashbam. But I shall start the Gemara. But you should have no difficulty understanding it next time. You should be ready for it. Is that all right? Mm-hmm. And now we've just got scarcely 10 minutes. I just want to say a few words to you. We have made it a principle of this year that a little bit of the year is devoted to what we call Musa. I don't want to go over the subject again. What is Musa? That is something that we have discussed. I just want to say a few words today about the importance of Musa. The Ramban says on Chumash, on that commandment, Kadoshim Tiyu, you shall be holy. It's a funny kind of a commandment. If the Torah says you must put on tefillin, I can understand. If the Torah says you must keep Shabbos, I know what I must do. But when the Torah says you must be holy, what is it? And the Ramban explains it. And the first thing that the Rambam says is, I want you to know, says the Rambam, one can be a novel Pirshusa Torah.
Is that Ramban?
Ramban, yes, I said Ramban. Otherwise it's Rambam. Ramban. The Rambam says one can be a novel Pirshusa Torah. A person can be a despicable person. But it's with Shabbos he keeps. Tefillin he puts on. But he's a despicable person. Kashrus he keeps. Taras and Mishpocha he keeps. Everything is so meductic by mitzvahs. And yet he's a despicable person. Haven't got any Kedusha in him. That's why it says in the Torah, Kedoshim Tiyu, you shall be Kedoshim. How easy it is to be a despicable person. Musor is to prevent exactly that from happening. And every generation has got its weakness. In the generation of the destroyer of Sri Lanka, it was Kanevo de Zalo. There was people kept Shabbos, kept Yom Tov, kept Tzitzis, kept Tefillin, kept Kashrus, kept Taras HaMishpoch. But when it came to taking something that belonged to somebody else, that wasn't a serious matter. Now, Rabbi Yisroel Salanter got it right in the Lithuanian schools. But it was in the days when he started on it, which is over 100 years ago, things were very much the same as they are in California today. People just steal. They think nothing of going into a telephone book and vandalizing it. Telephone booth and vandalizing, nothing of it. They think nothing of going to somebody else's garage and taking away the things that they are there. Think nothing of it. Rabbi Yisroel Salanter got it right with him. So in the time of the Chofetz Chaim, people who speak Lashon Hara without a thought. Without a thought. Chofetz Chaim says, okay, I want you to know that you do less wrong by eating chazir than by speaking Lashon Hara. If you want to know from the point of view of Anocho, it's less harmful to eat chazir than it is to eat chazir is pork. It's less harmful to eat pork than it is to speak Lashon Hara. According to the deen. And he goes through the whole laws. He says, so what's the idea? It's inconsistent. He made a tremendous contribution to that. Today, there's been such a yiridah that there's Gneva Gazela, there's Lashon Hara, and in addition to that, truth is the big subject. Truth. The Gemara says that the Ikvas of the Meshicha, when Meshicha will be about to come, the Ho'emes Ne'ederes. And there are a couple of explanations for Ho'emes Ne'ederes. The one is, truth will disappear. Won't be truth. Another explanation is, Ho'emes Ne'ederes. Truth will be fragmented. This person will have the truth. This person, he's got the truth. This person, he's got the truth. This person says, he's the Yeshiva's got the truth. He's the Yeshiva's got the truth. He's the Yeshiva's got the truth. It will be fragmented. I will discuss with you quite a different question to explain to you the necessity of this. For many years, I've been working on a project. I've worked on a project. The Danish Lelom has given each human being a tselem elokim. He's an inch of God. He's created a tselem elokim. So each man has got a tselem elokim. Is it possible for a man to lose that tselem elokim? Is it possible for him to destroy that tselem elokim? Is it possible for him to reduce the tselem elokim? Shem has given it to him. That is a great problem. I've been working on it for a very long time. With Professor Steinsaltz was here. He gave a lecture. I was present. And according to him, in the time of the discussion, something very near to that came up. And I said to him, I said, what is it possible to lose from it? He said, he doesn't know. He hadn't thought about it. He doesn't know. I can understand that. He lectures at Brandeis University. Can a person lose? I was always very disturbed by this verse. This is a verse in the Torah. The Torah says, Shofech dam or dom, one who sheds human blood, odom domo he shofech. Then, a man shall, his blood shall be shofech dam ho odom, odom domo he shofech. Then his blood shall be shed by man. You can understand? A man murders another person, because he's murdered another person, and he must be put to death for it. Ki betzelim elokim oso es odom. Say, shofech dam odom, bo odom domo he shofech. If a man sheds the blood of man, bo odom domo, his blood must be shed by man. Bo odom. It's badly written here. Ki betzelim elokim oso es odom. Because he made man in the image of God. What does that mean, because he made man in the image of God? What does it mean? Why is that put in? If a man kills another man, he must be killed. Fine. What does it mean? What would you say? Yes, David? No. Well, actually, you can't kill that, David. One can kill a man, take away his biological life. One can't take away his soul. One can't take away the image of God within that remains within. Yes?
I remember what Rabbi Shushan Walker said on similar second that that particular act denies the existence of God.
That why?
To take a life, because all of a sudden here's something that housed Tzemel Melekim, and now you've reduced it to nothing.
I found a Midrash name of Rabbi Akiva. It's a very difficult midrash to understand. It doesn't seem to say anything. He says something only if you give it this interpretation. If a man kills another man, the reason you put the murderer to death is not because he has taken the life of another man. It is because he has removed from himself the image of Hashem. The murderer has removed from himself the Tzelem Elohim. So that is why he's put to death. And if a person removes from him the Tzelem Elohim, he hasn't got the right to live anymore. And that is why the Amalekites haven't got the right to live. The law is we must destroy them, they haven't got the right to live. Because they have removed the Tzelem Elohim from them. And this man has removed the Tzelem Elohim. If he has removed the Tzelem Elohim from him, then he gets the death sentence. But if one can remove the Tzelem Elohim, it means one can reduce it, one can diminish it without removing it completely. That means that if a man's spiritual stature is 10 millimeters, that is his Tzelem Elohim. He can reduce it by 1 millimeter. But he's reduced the Tzelem Elohim. You know what that means? And the trouble is, he doesn't notice it. He doesn't notice it. Now, that is the importance of Musar. That we don't lose this Tzelem Elohim. That is as far as I can take it tonight. Please, gentlemen, next week it's not the Yes, Hashem be here next week. If you could please be here so we can start Mincha at 7 o'clock sharp and start our shir as we did today at 7:15 sharp. Go on to 9:15 and I'll deal further with the subject. I'm sorry, I just can't. Please remember the subject. Please. The Mishnah. We got through the Rashi on the Mishnah. Did we get through the whole of the Rashbam and the Mishnah? Yes.
Out of the Rashbam and the Mishnah. So at least we've covered that. Then we got through to the Gemara, and we got quite deeply into the Gemara. If I may be permitted, briefly, to review what we did last week, only in so far as it is apposite for what we are going to do today. We made the point in the Mishnah. Erev som psochim somut lamincha lo yochol odem ad shetersha. On Erev Pesach, in the night it's going to be the Pesach, from somut lamincha, from near to mincha, we learn that the mincha it refers to here is the mincha ketano, that is, the mincha ketano is at 9.5 hours of the day. And we're taking it from 6 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock in the evening, sunrise at 6 a.m., sunset at 6 p.m. Easy and round of a Pesach is more or less like that. That means 9.5 hours is 3:30. 3:30. From 3:30, that is, but it says near to Mincha. It doesn't say from the Mincha onwards, which would have been 3:30, but near to Mincha, a little near to Mincha is 30 minutes before that. That means from 3 o'clock onwards, it doesn't eat. What is the reason that he doesn't eat? We discussed that already in the Rashi, we discussed that. That is because you remember the term. Hidur mitzvah, that's exactly what it is. That is Hidur mitzvah. That when he comes into the mitzvah, he is able to eat the matzah, the tail of the, and of course it is the matzah. David, are you with me? Are you pardon? What is the word? The Tesha. Take away the first two letters. Can you see the word Hoshech? Can you see the word Hoshech? Achi Tesha until it becomes dark. Right? Until it becomes dark. In the Gemara, not in our Gemara, in another Gemara, there's a lot of discussion amongst the Rishonim. What does it mean until it becomes dark? You've got one view that it comes immediately the sun sets, it is dark. That's one view, and that is the view to which it's the easiest view we're keeping. We're working on that assumption because we pastanize that. That Shabbos begins immediately the sun sets. So we architecture means immediately the sun sets, that's the beginning of the moment when it becomes dark. Got it? Is it Matt?
Iron.
I'm sorry. So he doesn't eat Arche Tershach, and the reason is that he should eat the matzah when it comes to it. To eat the Kazayis matzah on Pesach is a chiyuv, that is an obligation. Please stop me as soon as I use a word with which you are not acquainted. Stop me immediately.
Rabbi?
A chiyuv.
No, that's not my question.
Yes.
My question is on, we're saying the moment of Poshek is when the sun's lower limb touches the horizon?
When the sun is completely below the horizon.
Upper limb is
when
under.
The top of the sun is below the horizon. That is the shkil. That is known as the shkil. We take it like that, you see. This is a Shita Sargonim, and it's based on the Rashi, and the Gorn, the Vilna Gorn follows it. So we put it on that basis. So you don't have to worry about all those things. I've got to do the worrying of that. I was only... If when we're doing this Gemara, for that I must give you the Polish product. Because we've got to concentrate on the things that we're doing in this Gemara. Now, so that is fine, that is, we discussed there was a difference between Hidur Mitzvah and Chibur Mitzvah. Poor man can have Chibur Mitzvah, he hasn't got Hidur Mitzvah, but a poor man has got Chibur Mitzvah. The love of the Mitzvah, the love, quite in order, so we've got a clear picture of that. That's all. There were 3 points raised in the Mishnah, but the Gemara that we are doing, that is the way the Gemara does it, takes one thing at a time. It takes the first point in the Mishnah. The first point in the Mishnah is that on Erev Pesach, Somuch Mincha, that is from 3 o'clock onwards, one doesn't eat. But the Gemara does. Is that clear? Do you want to know what the Pesach is in that, or that, doesn't that worry you? You know what Pesach means? Final decision. In the Shulchan Aruch. How does Pesach, the final decision, how do you want to know that?
Yeah.
And you see, for that we've got to have this Tosfos. lo yochal odom. And the final pesach is based on this Tosfos. But we are not ready to do the Tosfos. The Tosfos is an analysis, and it's involved. Of course you'll get hold of the Tosfos. But I want to get into the Gemara first, that we've got the subject at our fingertips, and then you come back to the Tosfos. But Tosfos works it out. It works it out in a way that it cannot be otherwise. It's conclusive by the time Tosfos finishes it, because it brings from other Gemaras. The conclusion is that one is permitted to have on Erev Pesach, for example, you can have fruit, you can have some fish. You don't have to be completely hungry, as some people begin they only begin at 10 o'clock. Quite a long time to go, from 3 o'clock to 10 o'clock and not have anything to eat. One can have a little bit of fruit, and this sort of thing one can have. Yes, Mr. Hitler. I'm sorry. I thought you were right. Now, so that was the Mishnah. We covered the Mishnah. Now comes the Gemara, and this is quite a usual way the Gemara tackles the subject. The Gemara says, we've got a Baraisa that speaks about Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Kippur. And we find that the same law applies to Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Kippur. That also you're not allowed to eat from 3:30, from 3 o'clock onwards. So why does the Mishnah single out, that's how it says, we'll leave with that, yes. But so why does the Mishnah single out Erev Pesach? Why Erev Pesach? It should have said, Arvesha Bosses Biom and Tovim, and Pesach would be included. It doesn't have to single out Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Kippur. That is what the Gemara asks. So, from where do we know that it's like that on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom
Kippur? Are we saying it doesn't have to single out Erev Pesach?
It doesn't have to say Erev Pesach, yes.
Right.
It doesn't have to say in single out Erev Pesach.
Because we understand it from Yom Kippur.
Arvesha Bosses Biom and Tovim, you could say, a person mustn't eat from Somoslamita, from the time from 3 o'clock onwards, doesn't eat from then, and then we could understand that includes Erev Pesach. Mm-hmm. From where do we know that on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Kippur, you are also not permitted to eat from 3 o'clock onwards? We know that from a Baraisa. A Baraisa is very authoritative. It belongs to the same period as the Mishnah. But it wasn't included by Rabbi Yehuda Hanosi into the Mishnah. He couldn't include all the body of the oral law into the Mishnah, the Torah Shebaal Peh in the Mishnah. So there were others that were not included. There's the Bechilto, there's Sifri, there's Sifro, there's Tosefta, and then there are what we know as floating Baraisas. But this is actually a Tosefta. It's not a floating Baraisa, it's a Tosefta, but it's a it's a Braisa. And here the Braisa says as follows. On Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, one is not permitted to eat from the Mincha onwards in order that he should enter the Shabbos when he is hungry, are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yose differs with that, and Rabbi Yose says he can eat until it gets dark. That is the question that the says. It's, but Rabbi Yehuda says so clear. The same law applies to Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov too. It's Rav Huna that gives the reply to that, and Rav Huna answers and he says, "Yes, in the Braisa there's a machlokas. Rabbi Yose doesn't agree with it. Rabbi Yose says that on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov he can eat until it gets dark." The Mishnah is, even Rabbi Yose says that on Erev Pesach it's different. Because of matzah. Because of chiyuva de matzah. He's got to eat matzah. Because of the mitzvah of eating matzah. On Erev Pesach it is different. There Rabbi Yose agrees. So our Mishnah now is very good. It comes according to everybody. So everybody agrees. That is the point that Rav Huna makes. That it's not only Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, should have said, Arve Shabbosis V'yomim Tovim. That Rabbi Yose says, Erev Pesach Somot L'mincha L'yochol Odom Ad Shetemcha.
Right?
Now, you can imagine, let us take it as far as that. Now, what I propose to do with you is quickly to go over this first piece of Gemara, the question and Rav Huna's answer. See what asks the Gemara. My Irya Arve Pesachim Apilu Arve Shabosses VeYomim Tovim Namim. Why exactly Erev Pesach, even Erev Shabbos and your Erev Yom Tov also, the opening words of the Gemara, the Sanya, because we learned in a Beraisa. One is not permitted to eat Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov from the Mincha onwards. In order that he should enter Shabbos when he is hungry. These are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef says he can go on eating until it gets dark. But we've at least got a view in the Mishnah that the same rule applies to Shabbos to Yom Tov. Yes. Kedai is in order that.
That's the Braisa.
The lovely expression, Oleg Beholeg. He eats and he goes. It means, in English you've got exactly the same expression. He goes on eating. But he doesn't. He can be sitting. Go. But that's the expression. He goes on eating. We've got exactly the same expression. Okay, Beholeg. He goes on eating. Yes.
Does the word Tanya always refer to a Braisa?
Always to a Braisa.
Always to a Braisa that's not written in the Mishnah.
Always a Braisa. Mishnah is Tnan. It says Ditnan because we learned in the Mishnah. When it's Tisanyo, it is always a Braisa. These are little things, but they save you a lot of heartache. When you work in the Gemara and you know these little things, they save you a lot of heartache afterwards. Yes?
Is it significant that it doesn't say Rashid Kani for Shabbat for Yom Tov?
Not really. Kadeshi Konish the Shabbos Kishihu Tabi, and the same applies to Yom Tov also. The Shabbos, the only significance is because on Shabbos there is a chiyuv to eat three meals. Two meals. So there's a chiyuv to eat two meals. I want you to know that Gemara takes it that every person can live on two meals a day. Two meals a day a person can live. I'm a witness. That's right. That's right. And I'm a witness to that because my wife has tried it out for me. Give me two meals a day and I manage pretty well. That you can live on. Right. Now, Rabbi Yose Omer Oche Behulech HaChetech Shach. So, that is the Braisa. Now, this is the answer that the Gemara gives. Omer Rav Huna said, Rav Huna Lo Tzricho. We do not need our Mishnah of Erev Pesachim. Elo Le Rabbi Yose, only according to Rabbi Yose. The Omer Olech Behulech HaChetech Shach. Who says that you go on eating until it becomes dark? Hani mili these words ba'arve shabosis v'yomim tovim apply to Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov. Aval be'erev ha'Pesach, but on Erev Pesach, mishum chiyuv de matzo, because of the chiyuv of matzo, because of the obligation of matzo, moded. He concedes. Rabbi Yose concedes that then it is, and you cannot eat until it gets dark as you can on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, but you can only eat from the Mincha onwards. That we've got till there.
May I ask a question?
I think Mark wants to ask you a question. No. You pass, yes?
This is all fine and well, and it makes sense, but what happens if I say, I now want to learn like Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Yehuda, because I say that he does not eat until it's dark. I say he stops at Mincha Katana and doesn't eat for Shabbos and Yom Tov and Pesach. Now what do we need this Mishnah for?
Well, first of all, you can't say you want to do that.
I'm saying...
Because then you're naughty and...
No, I'm saying if I want to ask it according to his Shita.
What is it you want to ask according to your
Shabbat? What do we need this Mishnah for if we approach?
I see what you're asking. I'll explain that to you. You see, Rabbi Yehuda Nosi has put the Mishnah. So, be strong. A stam Mishnah is strong. So he puts a stam Mishnah, no author, a law. Ere pesa somach mincho lo. So, who is the author of this? Rabbi Yosef. You can say Rabbi Yosef is the author. We wouldn't know it from anywhere else. So he gives us this, this is the law of Erev Pesach. We wouldn't know it from anywhere else. Because before we see that Rabbi Yosef only speaks about Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov. So, puts it down in this particular way. Now, of course, in this Baraisa, there is one small thing that we either we overlooked or we pretended to overlook, but we didn't take into account. The Baraisa, when it speaks about Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, doesn't say, as our Mishnah says, Somuch Lemincha, it says Mina Mincha Ulemailo, from the Mincha onward. Now there's a difference between Somuch Lemincha and Mina Mincha Ulamayla. Somuch Lemincha is 3 o'clock and Mina Mincha Ulamayla is 3:30. So Rapopa says, I say differently. I say that we need this Mishnah even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because why does it seem to have Erev Pesach the same law applies to Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov? Says Rapopa, no. Rabbi Yehuda on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov says from 3:30 you may not eat. Pesach is stricter because of the chiyuv of matzah. Pesach is stricter. Pesach is from 3 o'clock onwards. That is what Rav Popa is going to say now. You follow? So now we've got a difference between Rav Yehuda and Rav Popa in how to answer the question on the Mishnah. Mr. Gittler, have you got the idea how it's working out here?
Yes, I think so.
Good. It sounds more confusing than it is. It's just one has to get into this way of reasoning, you see. Sounds more confusing. Afterwards it settles down after a while. Right. Now, Omar Rav Popa. Let us see what Rav Popa Omar. Have you all got the place?
No.
Rav Popo Omar, here, just under my finger. Rav Popo Omar, got it?
Yeah.
Now, Rav Popo Omar, Rav Popo says, Afinu Temu Rabbi Yehuda, who says, you can even learn our Mishnah and say you need the Mishnah even for Rabbi Yehuda. Wholesome there, in the Braisa. These little words help you tremendously. If you could just make a note or remember these little words. Wholesome there. Ba'ar Beshabos V'yomim Tovim. In the case of Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, Mina Mincha Ulamayla Hu De Osir. It is forbidden from Mincha onwards, that is from 3:30 onwards. Somuch Lemincha, but near to Mincha, that is from 3 o'clock, surely it's permitted. 3 o'clock you can eat. 3:15 you can eat. Abu Be Erev HaPesach Afilu Somuch Lemincha Nami Osur. But Erev Pesach, even near to Mincha, it is also forbidden. So that is the way Rabbi Yehuda answers the question. The Gemara, however, is not satisfied with that. And what the Gemara is going to do now, and I'm just sort of preparing you for it, so it's a little bit easier when we do it. What the Gemara is going to do now is going to bring another Braisa, Braisa number 2. And this one finds quite often that you'll find one Braisa, it was studied in one school. Another Braisa was studied in another school. Don't forget that this was all Torah Shebaal Peh. This was all oral. And they were different schools. Whether it was in especially these Baraisas were studied in Eretz Yisrael. Before the great movement towards Babylon began, just before the year 200. they began the great, of the common era, began the great movement towards Babylon. Until then, when it became impossible to continue the Eretz Israel, and they saw that the Romans were at their throats all the time, and this wasn't going to, this was not going to be an opportunity for much study of the Torah. So the disciples of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, chief amongst who were Rav and Shmuel, went across to Bovel and established two great schools. Sura and Pumpe Diso established them in Bovel. So what they did now is that we are in Bovel and we are studying these, all this is taking place in Bovel now, you see. So these Baraisas were taught. So we've got one Baraisa and it's come down in Bovel. It came down from a certain school. And in Eretz Yisrael there were schools in Jerusalem, and not only one. There was a school in Yavne, there was a school in Kusha, there was a school in Tveria. There were schools all over. And each school there, and all this was done orally, each school studied the Torah Sheh Baal Peh. So we've got the one Baraisa. Now what the Gemara does now, it quotes another Baraisa, almost the same, just one small difference. Whereas the Mishnah speaks about Somuch L'Mincha, Baraisa that we have had speaks about from Mincha onwards. This Baraisa that we have had, and we are going to quote now, is very explicit. It speaks, it actually uses time. And it says, from 9 hours onwards, as we are going to see. 9 hours onwards, when is that? 3 o'clock. So that agrees with our mission already. We're going to come to that, we'll see it inside and you'll see how it goes on. David, what is worrying you?
They
were just slight, might have been a slight difference in the wording.
But that could change the whole meaning of the entire thing.
Well,
one rabbi learned it from one school, and another rabbi learned it in another school. And they start arguing about it and say, well, I learned the Baraisa this way. Well, no, you're wrong.
Well, that's exactly what happens in the Gemara now. We've got two Baraisas, one from one school and one from another school. There's a difference of half an hour, but that half an hour is very important. So we've got to decide, is there perhaps a mistake in one Baraisa? Anything wrong in one Baraisa? That's what we've got to decide. But the Gemara takes it step by step. The Gemara is going to ask a question now. It's really a question on Rav Popper. You say, Rav Popper, that in the Baraisa, Rabbi Yehuda says, it's on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Kippur, from 3:30 onwards you're not allowed to eat. We are dealing from 3 o'clock, Erev Pesach is from 3 o'clock. So, even Rabbi Yehuda, you need a Mishnah because of Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara now is going to ask on Rav Popper. But we've got another Baraisa, which we'll call Baraisa number 2. Right? We'll call this Baraisa number 2. Now let us see what happens with Baraisa number 2. Yes? Ask the Gemara. Uve Erev Shabbos Somuch L'Mincha Shori. Have you got the prayer place? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The sixth line from the bottom. Ask the Gemara, Uve Erev Shabbos Somuch L'Mincha. Have you all got the place? Uve and Erev Shabbos near Mincha, surely is it permitted? Vehortanyo, you say that it's permitted, according to Baraisa number 1, it's permitted. From 3 o'clock it's permitted, only from 3:30 it's forbidden. Vehortanyo, and we learned in the Baraisa. Lo yeuchel odem be'erev Shabbos v'yom imtev imitation shu'o zulamaylo. A person shouldn't eat on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov from 9 hours onwards, Kadeshi Konish the Shabbos Kitiutabe, in order that he should enter the Shabbos when he's hungry. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi, Omer Olech Vahorech Achetechshach. Rabbi Yosef says he goes on eating until it becomes dark. Now we see that it's 3 o'clock. Rabbi Yehuda says that from 3 o'clock he may not eat. Yeah, we've got another b'raisa. So what do you say, Rav Popa, that we need the Mishnah even according to Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda says Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov also from 3 o'clock onwards. So the question is, what do we need the Mishnah for according to Rabbi Yehuda? It remains. Omar Bar Zutra, Sid Mar Zutra, Man Leimolon de Mitratstohi. Who says that Baraisa number 2 is correct? The word Mitratsto comes from the word Teretz. Teretz means an answer. Can you see the word Tof Reish Tzadi right in the middle of the word? Teretz means an answer. Man Leimolon, who says to us the Mitratstohi? That it is correct, that Baraisa number 2 is correct. Dilmo Mishbeshtohi. Perhaps Baraisa number 2 is a mistake. And what it should say is, Mitesha Shuas Umechza Ulamailo. From 9.5 hours you may not eat. And then Baraisa number 2 would agree with Baraisa number 1. That's what Marzutra says. That's really what it means. And our Popa would be right. Omale Mar Yemer, said Mar Yemer to Mar Zutra, Vitemor Rav Yemer, and others say it was Rav Yemer. Ano ikloi le pirke de Rav Pinchos berei de Rav Ami. Said Rav Yemer, I was present, I happened to be at the shear of Rav Pinchos, the son of Rav Ami. Ikla means, literally, I chanced to be there. It happened that I was there. But it's stronger than that. In English, you would say, I happened to be there. It means, the chances were that I shouldn't have been there. The chances there that were that I wouldn't be there. The chances are that normally I'm not there, but I just happened to be there. Ikla is stronger than that. He said, I happened to be there. I was, I suppose the better way to translate that I'm giving you is near as possible the literal translation. Ikla, I was there. I met there. I was there. At the shear, Pirkei is the shear. At the shear of Rav Pinchos, the son of Rabbi, of Rav Ami. Now, I just want to explain, the Kum Tana, the word Tana in this context doesn't mean a Tana, but that is the name that is given to the reader of the reciter of the braises. So what they used to do, they used to have a man who was a specialist at reciting braises, and you knew you could rely on him. That every word and every letter that he said was, that is the way he received it. There could be no possible error. You have these people. He doesn't give his name. Why doesn't he give his name?
Is it possible that since he was, maybe it wasn't his reasoning that was so great, but he just had a flawless memory, and so it wasn't really him. He wasn't there.
That's right. He wasn't a Mechadesh. In California, they've got a wonderful word for Mechadesh. I learned it only when I came to California. He wasn't an innovator. He wasn't a creator. He was a repository. Fine, very nice. Big deal. Well, he knows he's got a good memory, see? He hasn't got a name. If a person is a creator, that's a difference. He's a Mechadesh. He is a... this reader, all he's got to do is he's got to, what he has absorbed in his memory, he has now got to take out of the drawer and he's got to present it. That's all he does. But you have these people, and usually, when the man gave a shield, this is the person whom he had. He had this person, and he was a specialist, and before he gave the shield, he said, I'm going to speak about this Baraisa, please recite the Baraisa, and he would stand up and recite the Baraisa. He said, now, this is the Baraisa we are dealing with.
We've got the theory. Yes, Dr. Wise.
I'm a little confused in the sense that we learn that that we learn from our teachers and our teachers, and we're just a conduit. Wouldn't a person with a tremendous memory be a great conduit? But now we're saying that some of the other, you know, I'm very basic. I just hate
you. That's right.
Like Rabbi Yehuda,
yes,
has something beyond the conduit.
Oh,
we,
yeah.
We would have to.
Yes, he is an innovator. He is a creator.
But
I see. You think the Torah Sheh Baal Peh was always, it was just giving over from one to the other.
That's my confusion.
Is that what it is?
What,
oh, very good. I'll explain that to you. I'll explain this 3 years I possibly can. That's very good. Now, first of all, when we speak about the Torah Sheh Baal Peh, the Torah Sheh Baal Peh does not only speak about things that came down exactly, but new situations arise. So therefore, on what we has come down to us orally, we have got to come to a decision. For example, it says in the Torah how a field changes hands. It says in the Torah how a home changes hands. It says in the Torah how an animal changes hands. It doesn't say in the Torah how a ship changes hands. An animal is movable. A field is immovable. What is a ship? Is it movable or is it immovable? We don't know. So for that, there is a special chapter in Boba Basra, Hamocher es Hasfino, if a person sells a field.
Ship.
No, ship.
I'm sorry, if a person sells a ship, and the whole chapter deals with that, what is the position of the ship? So we use all the information we have, and we come to a conclusion on that. You understand?
Yeah.
So those are the discussions that is just one aspect of it. But you must understand that not when we speak about the Torah Sheh Baal Peh, there was sufficient information given that one could work it out. And the idea of the Torah Sheh Baal Peh was never that the Torah should be static. The idea of the Torah Sheh Baal Peh is that it should always be dynamic. And we are always working out things. Now we are busy on test tube babies. It doesn't speak about test tube babies. But we've got to speak about test tube babies because it's become a question. The Torah is never static. It's always dynamic. And this is the whole, it's made in such a way with the Torah Sheh Baal Peh that it's got to be dynamic.
But there is a whole class of things that don't have to be dynamic.
Yeah, there are principles that come down to us. Not only are there principles, there are more than that. There are postulates, there are theorems on how we make our deductions. You follow what I'm saying? For example, one of them is the Kal Vachomer, which I'm taking because it's the easiest of all the, there are really, according to Hillel, there was 30, there were 7 principles you can work on. Rabbi Shmuel works on 13 principles. Rabbi Yose Aglili works on 32 principles. But you use these principles like Euclid uses his theorems. So we use these principles. You follow? The only thing we don't have to do, because it's done for us in the Gemara. Sometimes it tells us that it's using this particular principle. Sometimes it doesn't tell us, but we can understand it's using this particular principle. Is that better, Dr. Wise? Is it a little bit clearer?
But I can keep on going.
So. Yeah, but the best way to learn to swim is to be thrown into the deep end. To get into the Gemara is the best way to learn Gemara. As you learn it, you begin to see what it's all about. Yes, Michael.
I just think that part of the confusion here that Dr. Weiss is experiencing is that our rabbi frequently emphasizes that when he is teaching a shiur, he tries not to be original. He tries not to be an innovator. He's trying to be a conduit of what his teachers have provided him.
Yes.
And I think that the distinction here that might help Dr. Weiss is the distinction between application of Gemara principles to
yes.
new situations
yes.
and the consistency of Torah ideas.
Yes.
The consistency of ideas within the Torah
Shabbat. Yes, except that you find back it here that even in the time of the Gemara that was done already. Even in Gemara that was done already. That there is heaps of room for creativity all along. As you're bound to see when you do the Gemara, you just can't fail. And of course there are differences, and that's what's worrying David. There are differences, of course there are differences of opinion. Because very often the Torah Shabbat didn't come and deal with every little thing exactly. You worked on a certain principle, you said, well, I can understand, how does it apply in this circumstance? And then we've got difference. One authority says, in this circumstance it would be like this, this is the way I work it out. Another one says, I work it out like this. And we've got to decide by whom it is.
Is it also more difficult because we've lost pieces?
Oh, that is a different story. There's a certain amount that's been lost. The surprising thing is not on what has been lost, the surprising thing is what hasn't been lost. And that is, it's just unbelievable. It's just unbelievable what has come down to us. That is the surprising thing. But of course, there's things that have been lost too. Right, now, do you want to ask any question? So, says, Rav Yemer says, I was present at the Shia de Rav Pinchos, the son of Rav Amigai, the Komtana, and we'll call him the reader, arose, the Tony Kamei, and he learned this Baraisa number 2 in front of him, the Kiblo Minei, and Rav Pinchos accepted it from him. Now, the authority was Rav Pinchos. He wanted to give me the exact wording. He stands up, recites this parasha. Rabbi Pinchos would have noticed had there been anything wrong with it, he would have stopped him immediately. He would have said something wrong here. He accepted this parasha, which means that Rabbi Pinchos accepted it as authoritative.
Rabbi Huda.
Rabbi Pinchos. Now, what does it say? It's actually it's Rav Pinchos. So what does Rav Pinchos say? That Baraisa number 2 is authoritative. So we know really that it is 9.5 hours. From Teisha Yeshua, from 9 hours, from 3 o'clock onwards. Rabbi Yehuda says on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, it's from 3 o'clock onwards that you're not allowed to eat. Fine? So says, if so, asks the Gemara Kashya, if Baraisa number 2 is correct when it says Miteisha Shoos, then there is a Kashya. If we learn like Rav Popper, why does it say in the Mishnah Erev Pesach? It should say Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov. If Rav Popper said that we do it according to Rabbi Yehuda. Answers the Gemara, Elo, but says the Gemara, Machvarto, Kidarav Huna. It is better according to Rav Huna. Machvarto comes from an Aramaic word which is used in Hebrew too, Chiveir, it means pale or white. Elo Machvarto, it is better, Kidarav Huna. It is whiter like Rav Huna, literally. But we translate it is better like Rav Huna. It is better to answer like Rav Huna, and that is how far we got last week.
So we say that Rav Yossi was the author of this Mishnah.
We say Rabbi Yossi is the author of this Mishnah. It means that as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, it makes no difference. Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, it's also from 3 o'clock onwards. Now, so the only question that remains is, so why does Baraisa number 1 say Min HaMincha Ulamaylo? It says from the Mincha, that means from 3:30 onwards, we say it's Mincha. So, the first Baraisa is just, it says Min HaMincha Ulamaylo, but it understands that it's from a Mincha. And that is what Rav Huna understood.
Rav Huna understood. It meant somach l'mincha. It just is min amincha l'mincha because they've already established these things that when one speaks about the eating, it's half an hour before. So he takes it that it's min amincha l'mincha. I don't want to take it any deeper than that with you. I could take it, I could go deeper. I don't think we are ready for it because it takes a little while always to get into, you know, to a new masich that takes time to get into. Even a new perek, it takes a little time to get into the subject. So we've got to get a few ideas with which this perek deals. And as we get these several ideas, then the whole thing begins to clarify itself. All right? Charles, what
we finished
you?
Last week with the question of, can one have Hiddur Mitzvah without Hebrew Mitzvah?
Yes, we haven't got any proof yet for that. Your proof, you've got to do proof. We do the Rashi, when we do the Rashbam, when we do the Tosfos, we'll see whether we can get anything. You want to do the
No.
We will see then, we will be...
We want... Yes. There was a question I wanted to... 8 o'clock,
yes.
Oh,
I promise that those who wish to go to the lecture, I would allow to leave. I'm going to go on with the Gemara. But what I'll do next week, as I did today, I quickly ran over this Gemara. That's where I'll do that next week. Of course, I'll go over the new Gemara that we will learn. So if there's anybody who wants to go to the lecture, you can go there. Yes, sir. Yes, because is a person permitted to take his tzedakah money, that is the money that he puts aside for tzedakah, and is he permitted to educate his sons for Torah and his daughters Lahanigom Baderech Hayosho, that to educate them that they should walk in an upright way. Take his daughters, his children. Is he permitted to take that and to, he's got to educate them, costs money, to use the money that he puts aside for his daughter and to use it for them. And then his father and his mother, they support his father and his mother. Is he permitted to do that? And the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that's the Beis Yosef Paskins, the Machaber of Paskins, that he's allowed to do it. But then come the Achronim, you've got to understand, it's always very dangerous to Paskin from the Shulchan Aruch if you don't know the sources. But then when you come to the Yerideya and you come to the Nosei Kelim of the Yerideya, till you come to those who go into the depth of it and come to the conclusions, they make it very clear that applies only, let us say, if a person by today's standards, he earns $1,200 a year. And from the $1,200 a year, he's got to pay his income tax, he's got to pay his social security, he's got to pay his rent. So by the end of it all, he's probably left with about $300 for food. So, and he puts away for tzedakah, he puts away, after he takes off income tax, let's say he puts away $80 a month for tzedakah. That $80 he's permitted to use for the education of bonim and bonas, of sons and daughters, and for his parents. But, assuming that he earns $60,000 a year, he says, that he isn't allowed to do. And the Shach says, Ma'eiro, there is a curse on those that he's got enough and he takes that money in order to pay for the education of his children, in order to support his father and his family. So that is clear. It just depends on the circumstances. If you haven't got, then of course you are allowed to do it, because this is so very important. As long as he gives something to tzedakah every day, to something, maybe, what do they call it, a dime here? Is there such a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. How much is it?
10 cents.
10 cents. Something you think you can do that. So that is as far as the din is concerned. See, then the din questions his own parents, what's about his wife's parents, and there's a two views on that. Our father, he gets his wife's parents. The prevailing view is that his wife's parents are treated exactly the same as his parents are treated. But you mean in California, sometimes the role is reversed. It's the woman that supports the husband. Then the question is, has she got to support her parents, his parents, as well as her parents? Same thing. These things happen. All right. Now, but in, it says to teach the sons Torah and to teach the daughters Lanhigo Bederech HaYosher, to go the upright way. So I made it clear to the Shia this morning. I said, I want you to know that today you can use that money to teach Torah to daughters. Because in the time that the Shulchan Aruch was written, the type of Torah that was taught only to the boys. That type of Torah wasn't taught to the girls. But the type of Torah that is taught today to boys, you can teach girls also. In fact, you must teach girls. That you've got to teach girls. So it makes no difference anymore. You follow what I'm saying?
Not tomorrow, though.
The type of Gemara that you teach boys today, you can teach girls also. I mean, it's separately. Don't teach, are we pardon?
There's a lack of depth.
There's no depth in it, you see. There's a lack of depth the way you learn it. Cover ground. Well, it's easy, you see. You can do that to girls also. And today, I believe in schools, they teach in these yeshiva girls' schools. They teach them a little bit of Gemara. Fine, that's perfectly right. But anyway, I must tell you what the girls know extremely well in these seminaries. They know their Tanakh, they know backwards. Torah, Nevi'im, Kesuvim, how they know their Tanakh, and how they know their Chumash and Rashi, and how they know Ramban on their Rashi and Chumash, and how they know their Ramban on Chumash. That they know well. Some of them know a part of the Chavis Alabovas. And I want to tell you that this is causing difficulties with marriages. Because a girl marries a yeshiva man, and she expects him, as every woman, even in California, expects her husband to know more than she is, expects her husband to be a stronger character than she is. Whatever she says, that's really what she wants. And if she hasn't got that, she doesn't want that husband. No doubt about that. But who in Michelle Bach? She might not admit to it. If you don't believe me, ask Zsa Gabor's sister. What's her name? Eva. She'll tell you. She's made public statements to that effect.
All seven
marriages.
Have we
fought?
All seven marriages?
No, this is Zsa Gabor. She's only at one.
How do you keep track of these things? I have such a hard time with just the Gomorrah. How do you keep track of Gomorrah, Anne?
It's my business, because I've got to deal with you. If I didn't have to deal with you, I wouldn't worry about these things at all. Now, so, and it's causing difficulties. You see, a girl gets married to a yeshiva man, and then she goes, she works, and she brings the chumash, and she says, what does the Ramban mean here? And he doesn't know. So it causes difficulties. And these girls, I must tell you, they are just too wonderful. So now we're very careful that a good girl always gets a husband that knows a lot more than she does. You've got to be very careful about this sort of thing. You've got to be very, very careful about this sort of thing. I told you once that there was a Rabbi Shapiro in Valojan, one of the great Rosh Yeshivas in Valojan, at the turn of the century. And he had a wife, very outstanding wife. And you know how it is in Eastern Europe, it was. There was the shul, and there was the besmedrish, and there was the clothes, and there was the reshiva. It was all in one area, and everybody lived round about it. And one day, before he comes home from shul, and he eats breakfast, and his wife gives him the breakfast, no word, nothing. Yep. He sees there's something wrong. So, he waits, as every husband does. He doesn't start eating, and she comes, and when she's got her food, she sits down. He waits for her. She starts eating. She said, why don't you eat? He said, I can't eat. He said, why? He said, I've got aggravation. Aggravation? For what is, what's the aggravation? He said, I see there's something wrong. What is wrong? What has happened? She said, well, I am aggravated. I was in shul this morning. She goes to the Bible's shul. She's there. She sees to it that she always comes home before her husband's home, of course. She said, I was there. And there was Shmerel the Rashvoschik. Shmerel the Rashvoschik was Shmerel the dray cart driver. Do they know? You know what the dray cart is? A dray cart is, you know, U-Haul. Have you ever seen those things? Well, it's not like that. It's a cart with one horse that is barely alive. And that's how he makes his living, you see. He said he was in there, and he said he was davening downstairs, and he made a barucha barucha to Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, shelo osani isho. This is Hashem who did not make him a woman. She said that he said the barucha doesn't worry me, but he said it with such kavona. She said, how can he compare himself to me? So her husband said, my dear, please don't worry. He's thinking of his own wife. I mean, but that is the whole. That is the whole. That is the. Please, what I say here is strictly incriminating. What I say here is strictly incriminating. Please, nothing out of committee. Now, why did I tell you all this? Yeah, the brocha that one gives a girl is, a boy, we pray, the brocha is, may his parents be served to rear him, the Torah, and may they be spared to bring him to the chuppah, and may they see him doing masim tovim, good deeds. A wonderful brocha. To a girl, we pray, may the parents be spared to bring the child beneath the chuppah, will a masim tovim, and to see that she does good deeds. The amount of Torah that is taught to boys today, you can say to a girl also, you can wish the parents that Torah lechupul a masim tovim, that you wish her that she's brought to Torah to put a masim there. And that is our best blessing to Mark and to Linda. Yes, Hashem, she will learn, she will know, you and Linda be spared to bring her to the chuppah. And after that, that we have got that great pleasure to see that she's doing my sin, that she's doing good things. There's just one other thing I want to say. Mark, apologize for being late now, but this year I want to do everything I possibly can to be in time. So first of all, I like to be fetched the latest at 6:40. The latest. So that when I come here, I don't have to go straight and daven mincha. 2 minutes I can compose myself, because it takes 18 minutes from my hotel here. 2 minutes I've got to compose myself, and then we can start mincha and daven mincha, and we can daven slowly as it should be daven. And 7:15 exactly we start the shiur. 9:15 exactly. Now, I want to ask your forgiveness if I was also late today. Just want to tell you, in the Asura Ruve Malchus, you know, we read about them on Yom Kippur, the 10 great men that were, Rabbi Akiva was one of them, Rabbi Yishmoyer was one of them, that were died a martyr's death. For teaching Torah, they died a martyr's death, you see. So, I don't remember who it was, I think it was with Rabbi Yishmoyer. It doesn't seem that they were all, it was done at the same time. There were periods, there was a lapse of periods between them. See? Might have been years between them. The Romans were doing this. So, one person said to Rabbi Shmuel, he was being led out already, why is this happening to you? So much Torah you taught. So, he said, I don't know. Can't think of it. And this is a theme that if anything happens to a person, whether it's good or bad, he must think, what is the reason for it? What is the reason? There must be a reason for it. A man suddenly comes, does a wonderful business deal. What's the reason? He's got some responsibility for this. What's it all? Something bad happens to him. There's a reason for it. So the other one said to him, perhaps you were listening to a suit, litigation, and you were the dayon, and you made the people wait. You came a little bit late. Perhaps a woman came to ask you a shaila, and you kept her waiting. Perhaps that is. And he said, that has never happened. He said, can't be that. That has never happened. If I am kept waiting by anybody, I always on the spot, I don't tell him that, I'm always on the spot, make it quite clear to myself that I've got no hakpada, I've got no resentment, and if I had the slightest resentment, I most have. Don't want that. So I ask you also, if it happens that I'm a bit late, please forgive me, I try as much as possible. And you all help very much, I'm fetched at the airport, or if you could just see that I'm fetched not later than 27, then I'm here in time. And whoever fetches me, don't take Pico, please take Ocean. All right. Now, it's 2 weeks since we last met, which is a very long time. According to the Torah, that's 6 weeks, because the Torah says, if you forsake me for 1 day, I forsake you for 2 days. And it doesn't work, you forsake me for 1 day, then I forsake you for 2 days. So you're only 2 days away. It goes this way. If you forsake me for 1 day, then I forsake you for 2 days. So it's 3 days. So it means that we haven't met for 6 weeks. It's a long time. And the previous time, you also went away early, so it wasn't very good. So I've got to get you back into it, and I've got to get myself back into it. And the way I propose getting myself into it and getting you into it is by not going through the arguments of the Gemara till where we started our shiur 2 weeks ago, but just doing the conclusion of the Gemara. And whilst I'm doing the conclusion of the Gemara, I will bring in one or two other things that might be of interest also, so that there's always something new that we learn. The Mishnah consists of three parts, but we are concerned with the first part only, and that is Erev Pesachim, Somech Lemincha, Lo Yochal Odom Ad Sheterchach. Every Erev Pesach, Somech Lemincha, that's half an hour before Mincha, Mincha is 3:30, we take it at sunrise 6 and sunset at 6 at night, that is from 3 o'clock onwards, a person doesn't eat. And the reason that he doesn't eat, because of Hidu Mitzvah, so when it comes the time for the Seder that he eats the matzah, he eats it with relish and he enjoys it, and that's a Hidu Mitzvah. So he eats his Kazayis matzah like that. So he doesn't start eating from 3 o'clock onwards. That's a deep. Tosfos asks a question and says, but in any case he's not supposed to eat from 3 o'clock onwards.
No, that's
not
the Gemara.
No, Tosfos.
My hearing.
No. The Gemara asks, Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Kippur is the same deep. My Iri, Erev Pesachim. But Tosfos asks another question. Tosfos says, in any event, a person doesn't eat before he's daven mincha. So Tosfos says, well, you assume that he's daven mincha already. So that's not. He's daven mincha before 3 o'clock, you see. He's daven mincha gedola. He's daven mincha already. So you'd say, well, mincha is davened already. Why shouldn't he eat? He mustn't eat in order that he should be hungry. But then Tosfos asks another question. Tosfos asks a question which comes much further on the Gemara, where the Tosfos asks a question like this. Tosfos says he mustn't eat. I mean, the Yochal Odom Achideshesh. Tosfos says, what is it that he mustn't eat? Matzah? He can't eat matzah the whole day. He's not allowed to eat matzah. That is a deep. On Erev Pesach, before Pesach, you're not allowed to eat matzah the whole day. So what is it that you say he can't eat? What will you say? The matzah he can't eat. But this is something else. He can't eat anything at all. He can't have fruit. He can't have vegetables. He can't have anything at all. Says Tosfos, that isn't the deen. He can have something just to stay his hunger a little bit. He is allowed. That Tosfos brings from a Gemara further on. Targimo, he is allowed to have a little bit of fruit or vegetables. That he can have. That's the way Rashi and the Rashbam learn what Targimo is. So if he is allowed to have a little bit of that, what does it mean? Matzah it can't mean because he's not allowed to have that the whole day, never mind from 3 o'clock onwards. A little bit of fruit or vegetables, he is allowed to eat. So what does it mean that he can't eat anything at all?